welcome to another episode of GQ Radio Conversations with Moi, Tino Magnetta. Man, we have a great show for you tonight. I mean, this guy's a good friend. He has an amazing story, and he's just the greatest person. Welcome to the show, Aaron Moss.
Thank you, Tino. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Now, you grew up in hospitality, right? Your parents and grandparents owned restaurants, and you worked there. What did you learn from that experience? Because that's key to how everything else would unfold.
Yeah, the hospitality business, I started that very young. My grandparents owned restaurants, and then my parents went on to own restaurants. And I grew up working the daily grind of, you know, either a line cook or a waiter or hostess. And, I mean, you get to learn a lot doing that. It's a lot of hard work for very small gains in the hospitality business, that's for sure. And you got to work hard every day. And learning that work ethic, I think it started for me when I think I started working full time at 15 in the restaurants and learning that hard work ethic, and it's paid dividends for me through my life. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the restaurant business ain't an easy business. When you say hard work, it's kind of like the poster child for hard work, the restaurant business, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you're doing a lot of hard work for nothing. You know, at the end of the day, you still didn't make it. But you know, that's what's hard about restaurant business, and you know, you work in that industry, and it teaches you something about work ethic. That's for sure.
Now, you were the first one in your family to actually go to university, and tell us a little bit about how that shaped you, and you know, what your family thought about that. That was a big thing, right?
Yeah, I grew up, my whole family grew up, they're working hard every day, and you know, I'm the first one in my family to get a bachelor's degree and work for that, and I did that just to try to give me a leg up on, you know, the industry, working in the industry, you know, just continuing education. I think continuing education is important no matter what you're doing. If you're going out for a bachelor's degree or if you're doing anything, every day that you're in the job, you should be trying to learn something new, trying to stay up on it. Especially the gaming industry is, you know, ever changing. And if you're not learning, then you're falling behind. So, just getting that degree was really important for my career development, and my parents encouraged it. And they said, you know, hey, we don't want you to have to work as hard as we did, and we want you to be in a better spot to do that. And I can't say that I'm working any less hard than they did, but I do think that the education helped get me where I'm at today. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, even history tells us that, you know, when you're educated and you have a very good track record in your studies, you're probably going to end up doing pretty well. How did you graduated and did you go to the military after that?
Yeah, so right out of high school, I went into the Navy and did that and decided I wanted to go serve my country and joined the United States Navy and was actually stationed down in San Diego, close to where you're at, out at Coronado Island, and was there.
Wow,
and,
beautiful there.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, I got really lucky for my duty station and where I was living. I was able to hit the beach every day and go swimming in the ocean or surfing and you know, worked hard, and I think those were some of the best leadership development days of my life, and worked really
Next,
hard.
You were a hydraulic mechanic, right, on helicopters?
Yeah, so when I got in, yeah, I worked on H-3s and H-46 helicopters, and I was a hydraulics mechanic.
Wow.
And did that every day and really, really enjoyed it. enjoy doing that. You know, everything happens for a reason, that's for sure. I could have easily made it a career, but I think life had different plans for me. I was in the Navy. I ended up getting out of the Navy. You know, like I said, my parents were in the restaurant business, and my dad had a restaurant, and he unfortunately had passed away when I was in the Navy. So when I got out of the Navy, when my time was to get out, I decided to come home and run the family business, because he had left me, you know, in his will. He left my sister and I the restaurant, and we had to run the restaurant. My parents were divorced, so we had to run the restaurant, and decided to get out of the Navy. And again, like I said, I could have stayed in the Navy and made it a career, but for some reason, I had to come home and run the family business. Quickly found out that maybe that wasn't my dream to do that. So
yeah.
My sister and I ended up selling the business. Yeah. So, you know, lesson learned there is that, you know, sometimes you got to chase your own dreams. Don't chase somebody else's dreams.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah. So we ended up selling that business, and I moved around to a few different industries in my time. And from there, I went to work at E&J Gala Winery, the largest winery in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Making wine. So that was interesting.
That was like, yeah, you developed a lot of skills there that pretty well formed your basis, right? Your foundation for a lot of things that came up after. Tell us about that. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so Gala was interesting. Gala was a very production-based, obviously, business, and you have goals and you have production and you have to meet a certain level, and you have a lot of people working. It's the largest winery, so you got a lot of people. And I was privileged enough to run a crew of people making wine, preparing the wine, getting the wine ready for production, putting it out to the bottling lines. And so, you know, I got to really kind of learn how to lead a larger group of people through Gala Winery and their leadership programs, and kind of learn how to lead people. And I learned a lot of lessons there, and a lot of it was through making mistakes, and got to develop some great leadership skills through E&J Gala Winery.
Yeah, organizationally, you had to be on your toes, because you were juggling a lot of different things, just like you do in the casino business, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, obviously, in production business. And, you know, the bottling line obviously is relying on the production side to get them the product. And if one thing stops, the other stops. And any time in business when when production stops, that's a problem. So, you know, you got to constantly communicate, learn a lot of communication skills, and making sure everybody knows what's coming, when it's coming, and how long it's going to take. And so communication's key.
And you were also in charge of the unions, right? So that was kind of like another skill of dealing with these, you know, these entities, being able to negotiate and, you know, resolve disputes, right?
Yeah. So I was in management overseeing a crew, and I had a team leader and a union crew. And you really learn how to negotiate when you work with unions, and, you know, to be successful, you got to be able to work together and kind of find that common goal at the end and meet in the middle and try to work for that. And that's not always easy. So, I mean, that'll test your patience there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then you got married and you ended up at a job fair, which kind of changed your path in life. Tell us about that meeting
You're probably seeing a trend here of, like, one thing does not lead to the other. And
maybe
the skill set doesn't quite match. It doesn't quite fit. But
the character. These people were hiring on character, right?
So I just happened to get into the gaming. Yeah, get in the gaming industry on accident. So I was living in. So I was living in Trelawney County.
I don't think I had one interview where someone said, I want to be in the casino business. Everybody fell into it. It's the wildest thing.
Yeah, you just kind of fall into it.
For the wildest reasons.
Yeah,
Brian DeLugo, the GM of Red Hawk, he hit a jackpot and it made him get into the casino business. He was studying computer science or something. Crazy.
So mine was a family driven decision, actually. And, you know, I was working at Gallo and living an hour and a half away. And my wife and I had just had our son. He was 6 months old. And I was on the road or working a lot and quickly realizing that, you know, my time with my dad was short, relatively short. So I didn't want to miss out on any family life. And so we quickly realized this isn't going to work for a long term. Well, there's a job fair up in Tuolumne, and if anybody searches Tuolumne out there, it's a remote location, rural, and we're kind of at the end of the road, and you don't drive past us, you drive to us. And so I was like, well, there's a job fair, I'll go to the job fair, and just happened to be in an interview and sat across the table from a gentleman and didn't have any idea who he was. He just happened to be the tribal chairman, and had a little interview, and he said, hey, we may have a job here for you. Don't know what it is, but took my application, and a few weeks later, I got called with a job offer that was 50% of my wage that I was making at Gallo. And so sometimes in life, you gotta make some sacrifices for what's more important. And in that particular time, and now, for me, family is more important, and so I took a pay cut and a chance on a brand new casino. Wasn't sure that the casino in Tuolumne would make it. Not only are we making it, but we're very successful. So it was a good gamble, if I can use that term.
Yeah, that's a great term. No pun intended. Aaron, that's funny. Aaron, what do you think, now the person you had interviewed with, later you found out he was on the council, he was a heavyweight, right, at the tribe?
Yeah, he was the tribal chairman. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it doesn't get heavier than that. So it's very interesting. So let me ask you something. What do you think he saw in you that made him take a chance? What do you think he felt about you?
I don't know. I think probably he saw just maybe some drive. I tend to live my entire life, whether it's home life, private life, work life. I handle all aspects of my life the same way. I put in a lot of effort into all aspects of the same way. And if you maintain a strong work ethic in your personal life, it takes a lot of work to be successful in marriage or raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work to be successful in the job. And so if you maintain a strong work ethic across the board, then you don't have to worry about turning it on when it's important. It's already on. So hopefully, when I went to that job interview, maybe he saw that, I was ready, I was eager, motivated, and because that's how I kind of tend to live my life, so I don't have to worry about trying to make ends meet and I'm going to put effort in today, but not tomorrow. You just always put effort in, then you never have to worry about it.
That's great. Now, you said to me, actually, I work like I live, right? That's something that you say. Explain that a little bit more for people who don't quite get that, because it's kind of like hard to put your arms around that, because the old cliche is, well, you come home and leave your job at the at the office, right? Everybody always says that. Tell us a little bit about this concept a little more.
Yeah, so, the way I work is the way I live. And, every day I go home, I try to put as much effort into being successful as a father, as much effort being successful as a husband. If I'm out in the community, I try to put a lot of effort into that. And then when I come to work, I try to put a lot of effort. And it doesn't mean that you have to take your family life into your work life or your work life into your family life. It's just whatever's in front of you at that moment, just put that effort in for that moment. And try not to, let my work impact my family life. But that doesn't mean I don't put any less effort into what I'm doing at that particular moment, which may be a father or a husband. Yeah.
I understand, yeah, completely. And it can relate to anything, even like mowing the lawn. It's the same thing, or whatever it is that you're doing. Just put the effort to do the thing right and don't slack off.
Correct. Yeah. That's definitely what you got to do.
Yeah.
You're always poised for success then. If you're always putting in the effort, trying to do your best every single day, because you don't know who's watching or not watching. If you're at work, if you're an employee or a team member of a particular business, you don't know who's watching you. And, I started off in the casino business as an EMT security officer. I didn't know who was watching me, when that next opportunity was going to be, but I knew if every day I put in effort, that would be recognized at some point.
You tell that story to people that start working at your casino, right? It's something that you tell them this story, right?
Yeah. We have orientation, and I like to tell my story at orientation, not because I want to brag about it or anything. It's just that I want people to see that there's opportunities if you allow them. I always say, hey, we got a lot of doors that will open around here. People aren't going to open them for you. Sometimes you got to push them down. Sometimes you got to turn on the knob a little bit. You got to really kind of push on that door and make sure it'll open. Sometimes you have to prove to people that, you're worthy of opening that door, and that's fine. But if you're turning it on, nothing that I dislike more than, to have somebody perform at an average level, and then all of a sudden a job opportunity comes up or something comes up, and then all of a sudden that person stepped up their game. All that tells me is that that person had it in them and they chose not to. That's all that tells me.
That's funny.
And so, why weren't you doing it to begin with? Because you had it in you, so you're just holding back. And so I like to surround myself around with people that don't hold back, that work hard. And with that comes reward.
Dress for the part and get involved in everything. Something else you told me. Explain that.
Yeah, so you got to wake up every day. You got to dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. And what I mean by dress is you got to perform. You got to, we've all had jobs in our careers that, man, I just don't like that job. That job doesn't excite me. I'm not enthusiastic about it. I wake up in the morning, I just don't want to go do that job. But that's not the job you're interviewing for. You already have that job. You're interviewing for that next job. So you better perform in that job very well. And so you better show up every day dressed and ready and performing for the next job, the job that you want, not for the job that you have.
Yeah, always looking forward.
Yes.
Always looking forward. Now, you're not big on titles there, right?
No, personally, I'm not. I'm not big on titles. We all have titles. I'm the general manager. We all have responsibilities or accountability. We all have our job descriptions. But we're really big on just getting involved and helping each other out. And that's why, I've been working at this for Black Oak Casino. It's my only gaming establishment I've ever worked at. So I think that's, for 17 years. So I've been working here for 17 years. And the reason I've worked here 17 years is I think we demonstrate teamwork very well. And it doesn't matter what job you have or what position you have. If you see something that needs to be done, you're jumping in and doing it. And it doesn't matter. The title doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your job is. Something needs to get done. We help each other out. We get it done. And that's what I really like. And we can all say that we have strong teams, but I really feel that we have a strong team, and everybody from our leadership team demonstrates that on a daily basis. We'll get in there, jump in, do the job, and just make it a lot easier on everybody when we all do that, because we all need help at certain
Yeah.
point. Yeah.
Team effort. Yeah. You guys have a lot of competition in your small casino. How do you keep up with the big boys?
Yeah, we have a few things working against us here, Tino. We're a very remote location. We're not near a major highway or freeway. It takes, I think a lot of our local guests are driving from an hour away, and so that becomes difficult. And it's hard to compete because everybody has the same product, in terms of just slot machines, table games, food, entertainment. Everybody has some combination of those products at their casino. And so you got to give them something. You got to give the guests something that will make them want to drive and sometimes drive past other properties to get to your property. And we like to give a fun and unique guest experience. We like to do things a little bit different, we hope. We like to do a fun, unique take on it. And really our identity is unique and fun. And that's what we strive to demonstrate every single day. We do promotions and events, and we want to make sure that all those events are staff, our team members and our guest interactions are involved with that. So if we're doing a VIP or a promotion on the floor, that our team and the guests are interacting and they're enjoying, and there's a personality behind what we're doing. And we really want our guests to know that personality, because they'll come back to a property if they know your personality, they know who you are, that they know that you care about them. They'll come back to that property versus maybe a property that they don't get that type of attention. A team member recently said to me, and it's like, that we are the Cheers of casinos, that we know people's names. We welcome them. We sit with them. We talk to them.
The Cheers.
And I think that's real important. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we strive to be. We strive to be a friendly casino. We strive to be a unique, a fun casino. I mean, our executive team, our leadership team, myself, you will often see us up on stage in costumes or interacting with guests or participating in events just to get that interaction between guests and our personality as a resort, our personality as a casino, and making sure
that
everybody's having a good time.
Now, you've done that a few times, too, right?
Oh, yeah,
you dressed
absolutely.
Up a few times, too, I heard. Yeah, were you like a pirate or something? I can't remember. What did you say? What was it?
Oh, we'll dress up in horse jockey uniforms during the Kentucky Derby. we'll dress up. Our team's dressed up as leprechauns. We'll dress up theme for any type of event. If it's an event, a themed event, I can get it's usually my team saying, hey, we got to do this. This is what we got to do. This is something unique and unusual. We got to do it. And it's like, all right, I'm in. Let's do it. And so they're driving the boat a lot of times. Yeah, they're driving it. So it's But I think it's really important also that if you're going to do that, you got to be genuine at it. You can't, it's not a song and dance. I mean, it's got to come from the heart. It's got to, you have to show that you are genuinely enjoying, having fun, and you want to be there. If not, don't do it.
You said something else, which I love. We leverage our personalities from our team.
Yeah, so
and that's
if we have
what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I said a lot, and maybe I said a lot about the personality of the resort, but our resort personality is made up of individual personalities, and so you really got to leverage that as well. Like, you got to, you know, you have members of your team, any business that are better at certain aspects of the business than others, and you got to really go after that and say, hey, you're good at this. You got to do it. Our executive director of marketing he's really good at getting on camera
concept.
And having fun and unique, and we leverage that and we say, hey, do that. I mean, if you go to our website right now, there's the homepage at the bottom. There's a video. You'll get a great idea of who we are by watching that video. We're getting our message across in a fun and very unique way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're producing an identity and a concept, but that those things that you're producing, which is what you guys are doing, you know, dressing up as leprechauns and all that, are creating the experience. And
that's how you kind of compete. You know, you've got to create an experience that is different. And it might not be the experience everybody wants, but the people who do want it know that they're going to get it. And so, you know,
and it needs to be authentic.
It needs to be authentic. It needs to be genuine. And every property's got to find out what they are, what it is for them. Because I'm not saying what we do or what we create is right for every property. I think you really got to find out what for your property is the most important thing. What is your identity, and how are you going to portray that, and how are you going to demonstrate that on a daily basis?
So what you're saying is it doesn't necessarily have to be theatrically based the way guys do it. It just needs to be a strategy that meets the identity of the casino, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you really just got to find out who you are and be really good at it. And that's how you compete. You know, that's how you, you know, if you look at all properties in, you know, Las Vegas, you properties, and everybody's got their, you know, unique theme to their property, and they figure out, okay, this is the theme, this is who we're going to be, and they do that. And so, and that same type of aspect is that, you know, we're just trying to be who we are, where we're at, and we're trying to draw people that want that type of experience and want to continue having that type of experience.
Yeah.
You're not speeding, are you?
No. Oh, that's a funny one. That'll be on the show too. That'll be on the show. They're coming to get me. Aaron, what is that's my identity. How about that?
They finally caught up with you, Tino.
They caught up with me. Who was it? Bulger? What was the guy's name? The Irish mobster they caught after 20 years or something?
Oh,
Whitey Bulger or something.
Whitey,
his name was Whitey Bulger, something like that. He was like on. He had like they found him busted in his apartment. He had $1 million cash, and they got him. So 20 years later, it just goes to show crime doesn't pay. What advice do you have for the younger people coming up in the ranks?
My story is I started at an entry level position. I worked a lot of positions coming up. I mean, it wasn't always easy. I faced a lot of disappointment. You know, when I went for supervisor the first time, I was passed up for supervisor 4 times before finally getting the supervisor job. And that was quite a few years ago because I've been working here 17 years. But, you know, I that made me better. And so you've got to look for the positive in that kind of stuff and go, okay, I can get upset with that, or I can say, well, you know, you were wrong, and I'm gonna show you why you're wrong, and I'm just going to be better at my job, and I'm going to go get it next time. And sometimes you face disappointment, but that's okay. Sometimes you're going to have bad days, but you're going to have a lot of good days as well. And I think it's really important you kind of focus on those good days and kind of wash away those bad days, because we all have them. But I think what it is, if I was going to say, hey, if you're getting into this industry, if you're getting into any type of industry and you want to be successful, you go in, find out what your passion is, work really hard towards that passion, and people will see it. Because they'll see your enthusiasm, your passion, and somebody's going to notice you. It may not happen overnight, but somebody's going to notice you and go, I want that person running this business. And so you just got to work hard for that, and don't give up. You know, just keep working harder and harder. And then I had to be humble in this. And, you know, this is my only property I've worked at. I'm general manager now. I had to be humble. There'd be a lot of times I'm like, I just don't know the answer, and I need some help with this. And there is nothing wrong with asking for help.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, this has been fantastic. Let's take some calls. We got a lot of people lined up here, so let's take a few calls. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Aaron Moss?
Hi, this is Heidi Antizana. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, we can. Loud and clear. Hello, Heidi. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you guys tonight?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Thank you.
I'm good, Aaron. So I'm excited to speak to you for various reasons. Every time you say something, I'm writing down one of my favorite quotes in the world, because everything you say goes towards one of those quotes. And one of them is, for me, you are the epitome of one of my favorite success quotes. I've written a book called Packaged for Success, and it's all about studying the patterns of very successful people. And I think your life is an epitome of this quote, which is, success is where preparation and opportunity meet.
Oh, yes, yes. That's a great, great quote.
So, what I want to know is, at what point did you start preparing of your 17 years of being there that I think I could be the GM of this casino?
So that was not right away. So when I took the job here, I wasn't even sure that a casino in Tuolumne would be successful. I'm proud to say that I was very wrong in my early assumption. And once I started working here and kind of looking at the culture and said, you know, I can make something of this. It probably wasn't until about 10 years ago, probably 8 to 10 years ago, I was working in an executive role under Ron Patel, general manager.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what's it going to take for me to get here? You know, is this even a realistic dream, or because I want to stay with the company. So how am I going to do it? And so probably about 8 to 10 years ago, really started working towards, okay, what kind of skill set, knowledge base, education am I going to need to be successful in this role? And he helped me along the way. And, you know, I think it was real important just to find a good mentor, somebody that can kind of take you and say, and be honest with you and say, hey, you really need to get this skill, or you really need to get this education. You're falling short in this area. You're very strong in this area. So it was probably halfway through my time here that I realized, you know what, if I'm going to stay here, I want to be part of this organization, that I want to help lead it. I want to be a leader in this organization.
Right.
And so,
right.
Yeah, about 8 to 10 years ago.
Okay, so you've been preparing for that long for this position.
Yeah, and I think that's important, you know, that people understand that sometimes, you know, it's not an overnight thing. Sometimes you got to put a lot of hard work and energy into it, and I worked very hard over the last 8 to 10 years preparing for this position, and I think I've worked my entire life to prepare for this position, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. That's what I believe. Often people say how lucky I am to get a specific contract. And I said, well, I've been preparing 20 years for it. Exactly what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Aaron, another question, if I may, Tino. I have two more very quick
ones. Absolutely.
What has made you, you know, I speak to a lot of GMs and I deal with a lot of CEOs, and I haven't come across that many that have stayed with one single casino for this amount of time. What is your main reason for staying with Black Oak?
A lot of it has to do with tribal leadership, that, you know, I really believe in the tribal leadership. We've had the same tribal chairman, well, he's been tribal chairman for over 22 years here, but the same tribal chairman throughout the entire existence of Black Oak Casino Resort. So that was one reason. Another reason is I had a great leader before me. Before I took over the reins as general manager, Ron Patel was a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed because of that. And then I just really enjoy working with the people that I see every day. And that makes it easy to come back the next day, because it's the people that make the difference. It's not the job. It's the people that do. And I'm blessed to be surrounded by some great people. And that helps me get here every day and want to stay here and work hard to make sure I stay here.
So that's your second family, per se?
Yeah, my second family, absolutely. And that's what we call each other, family, so...
And Aaron, I think a lot of the times we spend more time with our work colleagues than we do with our own families, if you had to take a percentage of time every week. I wanted to ask you, I saw as well that somewhere along the line you were a trainer at Black Oak. Is this with the training department, with HR? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when I started in public safety,
hello?
I think we lost him.
We lost him, huh?
Are you there? Yeah.
Are you back?
Is there
Haiti? I'm here.
No, this is Tino. This is Tino.
Yes, I know.
I think we
I can hear you.
I think we lost him.
Oh, there,
there
you're
go.
Back again.
Oh, there you go. Okay, you're back.
I can hear your entire conversation.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So maybe we can backtrack a little bit. What you started?
Yeah. I'll paraphrase. I went to the training department and did a lot of training for the public safety department and then cultural training. And so that really kind of got me ingrained with the cultural aspect of the business, and it's something I believed in, so it was easy to do. But I really, really enjoyed, and I still do enjoy, getting in front of the team members and guiding discussions and having effective conversations that lead to strategic change. So I really enjoy that.
Wonderful. Can I ask one more question, Tino?
Sure.
All right. So you talk about one of my favorite quotes as well, and you talked around it, called, and I thought, talk about wake up, dress up, and show up every day, and that you need to dress how you want to be addressed. So what happens when you work with people whose maybe dress isn't exactly up to scratch, and they'll maybe say, well, you know, it's got nothing to do with my dress. It has to do with my capabilities and my skills.
Yeah, I think you really just have to have a genuine conversation and maybe find out a little bit more background and find out why they think that way or what they feel.
Right.
A lot of times when you have a conversation with somebody, you find out that maybe might not even be, if they're not performing well, it might not even be because of the job or because of their skill set. Maybe they lack the confidence in themselves and they just need some support, or maybe it's something happening in their family, their personal life, that's impacting their daily work performance. And then sometimes you might just find out and go, hey, we both agree, maybe this isn't a good fit. What do you want to do? How do we get you there? And because there's people in organizations all the time that don't belong in that organization. And I think if you have, if you have honest conversations, go, hey, this just isn't working, but let's work together to find something that will work. I think more times than not, you'll find success with that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed talking to you. And thank you, Tino, once more.
No
thank
problem.
You very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Some great questions. Go to the next caller. Hello, this
hey,
is Tina Magnetta.
Do
you have a... Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
This is Mark Ditto with Market Smart.
Oh, no. What's going on?
What's happening, my friend?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. I've enjoyed listening
Good.
To you. Some great
oh,
stories.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, you mentioned Ron, and I think the role of mentors is so important, and that was actually going to be one of my questions. I know you've been at Black Oak there very, very long, and I was going to have you talk about mentorship. And then you said, you know, you went to Ron about 10 years ago and said, hey, man, how do I run this show? And I started laughing. But I do think it's important to have mentors. And I know there's probably a lot of people out there listening. How do you recommend somebody go to, like, the GM and say, I want to run this thing. Basically, I want to take your job. You know, can you give some advice to people out there that were in your position maybe 5-10 years ago, and they want to run a casino, but they definitely need a mentor.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's important to find somebody that you can align with, somebody that you believe in their vision, their culture, who they are. It doesn't mean you have to emulate every single aspect of it, but I think it's important that you find somebody that you believe in. So it might be somebody outside of your organization that you say, hey, I want to run a casino someday. Can you help me out? And because the skills can be learned and all that other stuff can be learned. It's that leadership and that cultural piece that you really kind of have to figure out and make sure that you're aligned for it. But you know Ron, and you know how easy he is to approach. And so it was easy for me to say, hey, when you're ready to retire, I want to step in. I want to be the guy. And so, sometimes in life, you just got to be bold too. You have to say, "This is what I want," and can I get your help in getting there? But I think it's the person's responsibility, it's the individual's responsibility, to drive the development. Because if you drive the development, if you say, if I go up to my GM or my CEO and say, "Hey, I want this job. Can you help me get there?" and then you go and sit back on the sidelines and wait for them to get you ready for it, you're never going to be ready for it. So you have to drive, you have to show that enthusiasm. You have to say, this is what I need. Help identify my weaknesses and help identify my strengths so I'm in a position to be successful in the future. And I think if you do it in the right way, you know, you're not going to be threatening, because I think that's what we always worry about, right, is threatening somebody or, oh, they're going to take my job. But if you work in an organization where it's okay if somebody knows more than you and there is no threat, then I think the whole organization benefits from it.
No doubt. I was hoping you were going to tell the story about your trek in the Himalayas to base camp. simply because that, you know, and you did a great job kind of quickly running through all the different challenges in your life, but I was hoping you'd throw it out there, because it really shows perseverance. You know, obviously that was no easy task, and perseverance, I think, in the end, and you've articulated that many times throughout the conversation with Tino, you know, you just have to stick to it and do your best work. But that was a great story. I was hoping you'd say that. But if you have anything to share on perseverance, I'm sure everybody would be interested.
Yeah, I think you hit a point, you know, that Tino said earlier, where just kind of I live my life the way I work and I put it all in, and I like challenges in my life. And what Mark's referring to is, you know, I took a 1 year ago, I took a trek to Mount Everest Base Camp, and I just decided one day that that's what I want to do. I prepared for it. I didn't sign up for the trek. I didn't go to Mount Everest Base Camp. I didn't. The next week, I said, hey, in a year, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prepare, make sure I have the right gear. I'm going to set myself up to be successful, and I was, and only because of my preparation. And that applies to my work life as well, that every single day I prepare to be successful way before I need to be successful. And so, I love challenging myself either physically or mentally. I love challenging myself.
Yeah. Great stuff. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it, guys. Nice job, Aaron.
Hey, talk to you soon.
All right, bud.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Yeah, that was good. Hadn't heard that story. Not many people.
Yeah, Mark.
There have been some, but not that many. What were you going to say about Mark?
Mark's a good guy, and, you know. Work with him. I enjoy a good challenge, that's for sure.
Of course. Of course. All right, let's get another caller here.
All right.
Hi, this is Tino Magnata. Do you have a question for Aaron Moss?
Yes, hi. This is Heather Lee with Atriant. How are you guys?
Hi, Heather.
Hey, Heather. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good.
Doing great. Yeah.
Good. First, I just wanted to say that I watched the video on your website, and I literally laughed out loud. Like, I get your marketing director. So that was really enjoyable. And then the question that I had, though, was what has been the highlight of your gaming career?
Highlight of my gaming career? Wow. Yeah, I think the biggest highlight is being part of the growth, being a part of all the milestones that the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians have gone through. And, you know, I've been blessed to be a part of this casino since day one and seeing the different phases of construction and being a part of that and being a decision maker and a lot of things that happen, and seeing the success for the tribe has been my biggest pleasure. I mean, it's been a pleasure to be able to be a part of all that and just kind of see a successful business grow. And that's probably been the most rewarding part of my job. And, you know, there's a lot of other things day to day that I just have a lot of fun doing. And you saw that video and just being part of a team that we can be that goofy and enjoy ourselves is amazing. And being able to laugh during the day and, but still get the job done is I enjoy. So I think just being a part of all the growth and being, having that success and being a part of all that has been very rewarding.
I love that. And I guess that speaks to the benefits of staying at one property for such a long time, because this does seem to be such a transient industry where people move around a lot. So maybe they miss out on some of that you've been able to enjoy. So that's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Have a good night.
You as well.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Coming up is the season.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Ready or not, man. Here it comes.
Get those turkeys. Get those turkeys. This is Tino Magnata. Do you have a question for Aaron Moss? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Got you.
Ah, okay. Sorry, because I'm just on the headset, so I can't hear you back. Hi, my name's Oz. Thanks, Tino.
Hey, Oz, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hi, Aaron. How are you? This is
good.
It's been a great interview to listen to, and all the insights and everything else has been really an eye opener. So much appreciated. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So look, the question I wanted to ask you was really, it leans more towards industry and where I am. I work for a media company and we've sort of expanded out here in the US, particularly with the post-PASPA business. So again, where you've been with Black Oak from the ground up, with regards to the pending constitutional amendment to legalize sports betting, what are your views and opinions in terms of looking at adding a sports book if that were the case and that were to come about? I'm sure that's a while away yet, maybe 18 months, a couple of years. But in the first instance, you know, would you look at it as being a fit for the character and the personality of a casino that you've been involved with in its inception? And then from that point, would you look at it as being, you know, envisaging it's a big potential and, you know, opening a new type of customer into the casino for you?
Yeah, so that's a good question because that's the hot topic right now, and that's what everybody's looking at. And, you know, in California, who knows when it will be allowed, legal in California. I mean, we're still waiting for internet poker and, you know, everybody, all that. So, you know, we do expect 2 to 5 years, but we'll be ready if it's sooner. I do think that there's a fit for it. You know, on a smaller scale, you know, not opening a big sports book, but just having the availability of an additional amenity to what we already do. I think it falls naturally with we have a sports restaurant. We have, you know, in our lounge, we have a large screen television. We play all the sporting events. So I do think there's a fit there. To what degree we have to really kind of take a look at that and go, all right, to what type of sports betting business do we want to be? And you know, do we want to go at this small? Do we want to go at a little larger? But I definitely think there's a fit for us. We just went through a seminar yesterday trying to get a little bit more information and trying to get all the information necessary to make the right decisions, present to the tribe to, you know, and say, hey, what do we want to do? This is our recommendation. But I definitely think it's a fit for us. I don't think we'll be big at it. I don't think that it'll be a big change for us, but I do think it's just having us another amenity that draws guests here, has something else for them, maybe something to pass the time while they're doing other things, but we are kind of a destination, so to have as much to do as possible would be a benefit for us.
Ah, there you go. That sounds great. Well, good luck, and again, it's been a pleasure listening to you today, so thank you for your time, and wishing you and Tino, both of you, a great Thanksgiving, as you've raised that, Tino, so here's to a good Thanksgiving to you both and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good question. Yeah, California's slow to the draw, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No question about that. Yeah, they have been on most things. It's kind of
status quo,
right?
Yeah, nothing happens quickly, that's for sure.
Yeah. See, we got a lot of people here. Let me just see. Okay. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Aaron?
Good evening. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Outstanding. Outstanding. This is Randy from Wisconsin, Arctic Wisconsin, I should say. But I'll tell you, first off, Tino, I started listening to your things and found them quite interesting. I continue to find them amazing. And Aaron, you've got me all fired up. And if I wouldn't be retired, you got me thinking I should get out of retirement because you fire up a team and your philosophies are incredible.
Thank you, Randy.
I have first off, I also want to thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Oh, that's great. It's a good one.
It's an amazing thing to hear now. I'm on the board of directors for a memorial in Wisconsin, for a veterans memorial in Wisconsin. And I'm always touched because you have the choice to not have to have done it. I mean, I served in the Navy, but it was at a whole different time. I'm considerably older than you young fellas. and I think it's impressive that you made that commitment, which leads to a question about something else. You have mentioned numerous times about, and not in exactly these words, but in a parallel to these words, earning it. You give people the opportunity to earn it. You educate them on how to earn it. You show them how to. Is this something you've done your whole life?
Yeah, that's kind of a philosophy I've taken throughout my entire life, whether it's people around me, work with me, know I don't like a handout. I like to make sure that I'm deserving of what I'm getting. And, I think there's a lot more. I think if you earn it and if you feel like, hey, I worked hard for this, I got it, it feels a lot better than if somebody hands it to you. And I think if I work hard for something, I work hard to get something, I'm going to be better at it because I worked really hard to get there. And that's just a value of mine. And I want to make sure that everything I get, everything I do, everything I provide for my family is earned, and I'm deserving of it. And so that's just kind of how I live my life.
That's so impressive because I think it's so easy to be intimidated by the future as it's unknown, but you seem to have the confidence to go into it. And as you're talking about your climb, you prepare, you seem to listen and do it the right way, which leads to my other question. You use the word they quite often. Have you always been a good listener to other people, or is this something you learned over time?
I can't say. Well, I'm going to be honest with you that I think a lot of times you have to learn how to be a good listener. And I can't say I've always been that way, but I try to be that way every single day. I try to be better at it. I'm definitely not perfect at it, but I'll continue to be better and better. And the philosophy here is we all work together. We make decisions together, and I'll take the responsibility for it. But we'll get to an answer together. And then it's my job to take responsibility for the failure of it if it happens. And then I'll share in the success if it does, if it's successful, and making sure that person is acknowledged for it. But I think it's important that you come to decisions together. Otherwise, everybody just kind of looks for you to make every decision for them.
Yeah.
I think it's very impressive. And when they're talking, they make a commitment, and it's their effort. And I think as you've described, I feel it from you, and I feel that you've had the opportunity. And I think you're extremely impressive. And I know you've got a lot of other calls, but I want to thank you for taking the time to be on. And I've learned so much, and I hope someday to meet you in my rambling aimlessly across this country, as I do on occasion.
Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you for your service, and go U.S. Navy, huh?
You got it.
Take care.
Thanks, Randy.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Great questions. Hello, this is GT Radio. You have a question for Aaron Moss.
Aloha, this is Mike Kahanui up in Washington. How's it going, Aaron?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You mentioned some great things. First off, I agree. Thank you for your service. I'm a Navy brat myself, so you picked the right branch. That was a good one.
Yes, we did.
you talked about some of the fundamental things I've heard throughout my career, And, you know, being prepared, you know, doing the work now as opposed to when the job is available, and hitting on some very similar themes that go out there. But you also talked about the competition that's coming up. So as competition increases in your market, you know, what do you do to identify the talent that you currently have and nurture them and develop them more, and then also retain them so they don't go to another property?
Yeah, so that is a big struggle for us right now. You know, we live in a very rural area, so housing is very limited. So it's real important that we keep our trained and skilled and people who believe in our culture here. That's very difficult. Now, the only thing that I have to say is that we constantly have to do better and better every day because, you know, in today's great economy where things are, I shouldn't say great economy, a good economy where people have choices where they want to go work, is we have to create, maintain, and demonstrate every day a culture that is a good fit for people that want to stay, because there's lots of opportunities out there. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in places that, people will be able to find housing, or you know, maybe you know, we're in the foothills, and maybe there's no snow, or so we're working on our strategies right now to try to keep and try to maintain as much as we can, and I think we do a fairly good job at it, but we do tend to lose people occasionally to competition, and so. I think we got to look at what we do is we look at each individual situation and we ask them, why are you leaving? What's going on? What are the opportunities? Some things are unavoidable, you know, moving closer to home, or I got a better opportunity, or but we try to find out from each one of these people that are leaving, why are you leaving, and what could we have done differently to keep you to stay? And if we keep learning from each one of those opportunities, then that's going to put us in a better strategic spot to maintain our trained, skilled, and culturally fit staff, team members within this organization.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I think the culture fit has always been, you know, extremely important, you know, obviously with the personalities as well. You know, you're a man of many goals, and you like to prepare for them. What's left on your list to finish this year?
Well, on the short term, you know, we just finished on a work goal. We just finished our first year of an outdoor concert series, so I'm working on the recap of that and working with our team here. I got a great team working on it. That's going to set us up for year two. We're in a better spot to have more concerts of a higher caliber. So we're working on that. And then on the personal side, you know, you got to have that work-life balance, right? I got 3 more weeks and I get to take my lovely wife out for vacation. So just the two of us are getting away. So those are my goals.
Good for you. That's awesome. Well,
yep.
Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Again, thank you for your service. Have a good one.
Thank you for yours. Thank you very much.
Good night. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. I think we have time for one more. Let me see what we got here. Hello, this is Tino Magnata. Do you have a question for Aaron Moss? Hello, can you hear us?
Hey, guys. Sorry, had you on mute. Hey, Michael Glauser from Catalyst Marketing. How are you?
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, what, just a question. And Aaron, we've never met before. I know you've worked with our team in the past, but pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time. Great, some great stories. I know, well, I've done an Ironman before. I know what it is to go and set up and have a plan for a couple of years you know, have these, you know, physical tasks and physical things that you know, to put a carrot out there to keep your short-term goals in line.
Sure.
But with that said, you know, and this is more of a personal question for, I'm not going to bug you about the marketing side, But, you know, with those goals and with those things that you set up, how do you go about building in short-term goals along the way with that long-term goal in mind? What's the strategy behind that when you're chasing some of the bigger dreams?
Oh, yeah. So any of my team that's probably listening is going to laugh at this answer, but I am very, very well organized. And I'll write out a list of what I need to do, when do I need to have it done by, how am I going to measure that success. And so if it's going for, you know, a climb to Mount Everest Base Camp, you know, I'm writing down, like, I'm hiking this many days a week, I'm going for this mileage, I'm going at this altitude, and then I'm checking the boxes as I go along, and to keep me honest and keep me on goal for those short-range goals, so that I know that I'm going to be successful at the end of it. So, I mean, I'll write lists, I'll rewrite lists, I'll write that list three times. I turn my ping pong table and my game room into a staging area for my gear for my trek, and I think I pack like 30 times, so just to make sure I got the right combination of stuff. So
yep,
but
that's what it takes.
Yeah, yeah.
You
got to keep those goals in front of you. Those every day, you know, if you're planning something, you know this. If you're planning something 2 years out, if you're going to do an Ironman, you know, you're running 26.2 miles. Well, you're going to need to run 1 mile before you run 26.2 miles. So you got to plan
That's
for that
correct.
1 mile first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a setup. I mean, it's correct. It's a setup of, you know, making sure that, you know, you're at your goals. And I did it as a 2 year plan. It's really about 6 months of intense workout, but I did it, you know, in a stepped increment way that I knew that when I was going to be within that 6 month time frame, I was going to be ready to take that on, because it, you know, it's almost like planning to plan, you know, to put yourself
yeah.
in a position that when it's time to go, you're ready to go.
Yeah,
so I appreciate your stories, and like everybody else said, thank you for your service, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Happy
you have
Thanksgiving,
a great night.
Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, Kenna. Both.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, fantastic
yeah.
show.
Thank you.
You are an incredible person, and I want to have you back next year, late next year sometime. And I just really appreciate you coming on tonight and spending the time and sharing your stories.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Tino. It was a lot of fun.
You have a good night and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good night. All right, man. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was absolutely fantastic. What a great guy. Just a great guy. We're breaking over the Thanksgiving holidays. And November 26th at 5:30, we have a very good friend of mine, which I've worked with at Tulalip. His name is Sam Askew. He's the CEO of Port Madison Enterprises. And this guy knows a lot about the hospitality business and about building hotels. And now he's the CEO of the whole Port Madison Enterprises. It'll be great. And happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, turkey. And remember, there's always someone with a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen to it. Have a good night and God bless.